Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Gimel with Aleph by the Gemara. The Mishnah discussed the Chatot HaTzibur VeYachid, which are the Chatot HaChitzonot. Until now in the Mishnayot we discussed the Chatot HaPrimiyot and the Matnot Dam that dealt with them. Now we're dealing with the Chatot HaChitzonot, which go on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. There's a requirement there by the Chatot HaChitzonot that they go on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And the question is, how exactly do we do that, or how exactly does one do the matnot dam? So here we have, how is it done? Rabbi Yochanan ve'Rabbi Elazar. We have a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Elazar. Chadomer nutein ama elech v'ama elech. One of them says you put an ama in each direction. V'chadomer mechate v'yored keneged chodo shel keren. Truthfully, the word mechate means to wipe or to scrape off. Over here, Rashi notes that it is the lashon hakatuv. And later on, Rashi will say that the word mechateh is rikat chatat karoi chitui. In Torah, mechateh, and the pasuk we quoted yesterday, mechateh ota. Even though the literal translation means to wipe, over here it means rikah, which is to throw it with your finger through your etzba, to spritz it with your finger, not literally to wipe it. So here you have a machloki between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar as to how the dam of the chatat was placed. Now, the Gemara is going to explicate on that and say, Aliba de Rabbi Lazar v'Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Lazar v'Rabbi Shimon, Damar hi atzma in an asit el begufa shel keren, a machloket that we will see coming up. The Gemara is going to say, what is this machloket, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi? Gemara takes it for granted that you know that now. But Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that you're only allowed to put the matno dam on the keren itself, on the corner itself. The mizbeach is 10 amot high, up to 9 amot, moving steps function up. We'll discuss that more tomorrow and the next day, the exact structure of the Mizbeach. But on the top of the Mizbeach, there were four karnot, four corners. Those corners were a cubic amma that protruded upwards, but gave you the height of 10 amot of the Mizbeach. So in each corner of the Mizbeach, you have a keren. That keren is a cubic amma. And what Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, you're only allowed to put the dam on that keren. That's the only place you're allowed to put it. So over there, the kuliyama lo plige. There, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar don't argue. Ki plige alaybe de Rabbi. They argue according to Rabbi's opinion, which is that the keren is a little bigger than we thought. So now, just to deal with Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, Rashi over here says, in Rashi, it's the second wide line, kuliyama lo plige, to lo bein and chuda, you don't need the edge or the corner, to keren kativ. It says here that you got to put it on the keren. Bama alama beromama hanotun berosh hamizbeach. According to that, the entirety of the cubic amma is called the keren. So as long as you get it anywhere on the keren, it's fine. The keren orah discusses this Rashi as to how exact this is, and then within the context of the Rambam, Rashi believes that according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, who demands that you put it on the keren itself, means anywhere on the keren. You could have read it that kuli amma lo plige, but if you have to put it on the keren, you got to put it, first of all, on the face of the keren, not the top of the keren. It's a cubic amma, but you'd want it on one of the two faces, and possibly even on the corner. Rashi clearly says here that the keren means anywhere on the keren. That's according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. Kiplige alibi de Rabbi. Their argument is in Rabbi's position. Mar savar ama elech v'ama elech keneged keren hu. Just like the keren itself is an amma by amma, then Rabbi, who says that you can do it all the way down the side of the Mizbeach, not just on the Keren, then that same Amma continues down the side of the Mizbeach. Umar Sabar, can I get Choda in? Tfeilo. And the other one says, according to Rabbi, who says that the Keren is bigger than the Keren itself, you must do it at the corner, you must do it at the edge of the Mizbeach. So what they're arguing about is, in the Mizbeach of its own, you have the karnot that are cubic amma on the top of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, is that it's the keren itself that you can put it on. Rashi claims the keren itself means anywhere on the keren. You could have thought more narrowly about what he was saying, that it only means the outer faces of the keren, or it means even the corner of the keren. But that is no disagreement that you got to get it on the keren. Rabbi says that the keren is bigger than the keren itself, because the requirement by the Chatat Beima is to be above the Chuta Sikra, to be above the middle line of the Mizbeach. 5 amot from the ground is the Chuta Sikra. Above that is 5 amot. 4 of those amot are part of the structure of the Mizbeach. The last amma is the Keren itself. And he says is that the Keren has a longer reach to it than you thought. The keren itself is not just the top of the keren. It's the entire structure going down. How far down, we'll see in a second, but it goes further down. That keren, machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, is what does Rabbi allow in that situation? When he says that the keren is bigger than we thought, does he mean that the keren in its amah by an amah, does that continue down? Therefore, you can place it an amah in on either side all the way down. Or did he mean that the keren is the corner? And if you're on the keren, anywhere down the corner, the exact 90-degree angle, that corner, that point, is where you can put it. You can't go ama vama elech. How big is that keren? That's the question at hand. Now, Rabbi Meitavik, chatot etzibor ve'yachid. Here is a braita that is more explicit than our Mishnah. Ketzim matan daman. How do you place the dam on the mizbeach? Eyal ule kevish. You go up the ramp. Upana le'soveiv. And he turns off to the soveiv. Again, this has to do with there were smaller ramps that allowed you to exit from the larger kevish onto the soveiv. How many ramps there were? Where there were ramps is a machloket within the Rishonim. Balo the keren dromit mizrachit. And then he comes to the southeastern corner. V'tovel etzba'o yemenit. Then he dips his right finger. Ha miyumenet shibiyamim biyamin. And then the most dexterous of your right hand, because you don't put your whole right hand into the dam, you have to put an etzba into the dam. So which of the fingers is the most dexterous of your right hand? That would be the pointer finger. So that's what it means here. Ha miyumenet shibiyamin. You put the pointer finger into the dam, in a dam, shibimizrak, into the dam that's in the utensil that had captured the dam. V'chomer v'godlo milamala u'be'etzba'o k'tana milamata. So they're hard to translate. It says here that chomer, I'm going to leave that untranslated, but you use your thumb and your pinky. So now once you have the blood on your pointer finger, you put your thumb and your pinky by it. What the purpose of your thumb and your pinky are over here is a machloket amongst the Rishonim. You can't see here. By Rashi, he says that Moshechet Adam shebe'etzba klapei mata shipo kulo lemizbeach. Rashi says it's used in order to ensure that the blood on the etzba gets onto the mizbeach. So you use your thumb and your pinky to push it off your pointer finger. On the other hand, the Rambam and others seem to indicate it's a way to hold the dam on the finger. You dip the finger into the mizrak. Now you're lifting it up. You don't want the dam to move away from the finger. So you put these on to trap the blood on the finger. And then once you get up, you can release it and put it on. So it's a way to hold the blood on the finger rather than to get it off the finger. Now as far as the translation of Chumer, Lashon Nechmiru Bnei Ma'a Dinori or Belaz. Rashi looks to the usage of the word in Chulin. It's actually used in the Pasuk in Eicha as well. And it means to churn or to turn over one's innards. And it's also here that the Lashon Nechmeru B'nei Me'ah means to move off, scrape off, or to churn off. It means when you're pushing the blood off the finger. That's the way Rashi learns it. Others who say that it's to keep it on say Chomer means to Lachamer, which means to gather together or to pile up. So it's a way to hold the blood on the etzba to keep it as you sprinkle it onto the Mizbeach. I mean, as you take it out of the Mizrak and take it towards the Mizbeach. Umechate v'yorev. And then he does the Zrika. V'yorev k'neged chudash shel keren. And you put it at the corner of the keren. Ad shemechale kol adam shebe'etzba. Until you remove or you finish all the blood that's on the etzba. That might have influenced Rashi a little bit with regards to why he says that the pinky and the thumb are used to take off the blood here, because there's a requirement to add shemechale. Until you finish all the blood that's on the finger. V'chein, v'kol keren, v'keren. And you do this for the all four keranot as you move around. Based on this braita that explicates in our Mishnah, it's pretty clear that you're putting it on the choda shel keren. You're putting it on the corner, the exact edge of the corner. And then that would be like the opinion that says, you put it on the corner, you can't go in ama elech v'ama elech. So hachi gamar, mitzvah v'choda. Even the one who says that Rabbi agrees that you can go all the way out and amah in each direction, that's still called keren, nevertheless, he believes the chatchila, you should do it at the choda. You should do it at the point at the 90-degree angle. But if you go beyond that and amah in each direction, we're not going to worry about it. So here we've narrowed significantly this machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. The machloket as to what's called keren, is keren only the edge, that point at the 90-degree angle, that's called the keren. or is it carrying the full ama in each direction? I mean, it's a block or an area that extends beyond the corner, and ama in each direction. Then we said that that machloket is only applicable or only relevant with regards to the opinion of Rabbi, not according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rashi says you can put it anywhere on the Karen, or the possibility is that you can only put it on the corner of the Karen or the face of the Karen, but they all agree there that there's not much to discuss with regards to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And even within Rabbi's opinion, everyone agrees that the best place to put it is on the Karen, on the Chod itself, on that point or the edge itself. But b'diavad, there is an opinion, that's where the machlok between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan comes out. B'diavad, can you go beyond that point at the edge? Can you go extend in Amah in each direction, which is still classified as the Karen HaMizbeach? Now the Gemara asks the obvious question, which is, my Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara spoke of their opinions and saying, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar's machloket is within the position of Rabbi, not in Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's position. But we don't have what their opinions are. And now the Gemara says, what are their opinions? Where does this come from? The Tanya, Damim Elyonim, Nitanim Michuta Sikra Ulimalo. Damim that go on the upper part of the Mizbeach can be put from that middle line and upwards. The Chuta Sikra, which denotes the middle line of the Mizbeach. From there, upwards is where the Damim Elyonim go. Damim Atuch Tonim. Damim that belong in the lower half of the Mizbeach, Nitanim Michuta Sikra Ulimatan, Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says the cutoff in terms of the damim is the chuta sikra, which is the middle line up 5 amot from the base, 5 amot to the top of the mizbeach. Any damim tachtumanim can be placed anywhere below the chuta sikra. Damim elyonim can be placed anywhere above the chuta sikra. Rabbi Shimon Omer, b'med v'imamurim b'olat ha'ov. There are really only two korbanot that have dam on the upper half of the mizbeach. That's an olat ha'ov that is on the upper half of the mizbeach, and that is a chatat behema. Those are the only two that have dam on the upper half of the Mizbeach. So what Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, that what you're saying, Rabbi, is true with regards to Olat Ov. Aval bechatat beima, hi atzmai nasit el agufa shokeret. When it comes to the chatat beima, there's a requirement not only of the upper half of the Mizbeach, but there's a requirement of keren. That's spelled out in the Pasuk. We saw that by the chatot, that you have to put it on the karnot ha-Mizbeach. You have to put it on the corners of the Mizbeach. So the machloket between them is, obviously, what's called Karen. The Pasuk, the Torah, demands Karen over here. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, the definition of Karen is that cubic Amah at the top of the Mizbeach. That's the only thing that's called the Karen. Rabbi says the Karen is the corner anywhere up from the Chuta Sikra and the Mala, that's called a Karen. The reason likely that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar are arguing within the position of Rabbi is, we have a principle that Halacha kirabi mechaveiro below mechaveirav. When Rabbi has a machloket with another Tano, the halacha is like him. When he has a machloket against the Rabbim, the halacha is not like him. So over here, where you have a machloket between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi, the halacha is going to be like Rabbi. That's likely why Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar are arguing within the position of Rabbi, because his position is going to be accepted la halacha. So our Rabbi Yobo, my time at the Rabbi, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi's position? Because the Pasuk in Yechezkel, in describing the Bayit, says, with regards to the Mizbeach, over there in Perek Mem Gimel, it's describing his vision about the Migdash, and then it goes through the Tavnit, blueprints, and the size of the Migdash, everything in the Migdash, then it comes and narrows it down to a focus on the Mizbeach. And the Pasuk, it calls the Mizbeach both Harel and Ariel. It says, Beha Arel Arba Amot. The Ariel is 4 amot. Umi ha-Ariel ulamala ha-Karnot arba. And from the Ariel and above, the Karnot is 4 amot. And then it says, va-Ariel, the Mizbeach, is 12 orech, v'shtemesre rochav. It's 12 by 12. Ravua al-arbat rivav. Squared out into every direction. Then it moves on to the Azara after that. So clearly, the description here of the va-Ariel, or the Ariel being 4 amot, he's talking about the height of the Mizbeach, because as I read to you, the subsequent Pasuk says that the Ariel, the Mizbeach, is 12 by 12. That's talking about the width and length of the Mizbeach. Again, we'll have to work out to reconcile between the Pasuk in Yechezkel and the actual size of the Mizbeach. But leaving aside the exact dimensions over here, if length and width are given to you as 12 by 12, then the Arba Mot is the height. But we know that the height of the Mizbeach is not Arba Mot. The height of the Mizbeach is 10 amot high. So that's Rabbi's source for what he's saying, is from the fact that in Yechezkel, It says, Va'arel arba amot, that the arel is four amot. And then it says, Umeha ariel, ulamalo, from the ariel and upwards, a karnot arba, the karnot are four. Arba amot hudavya? Wait a minute, they're four amot? What do you mean? Mizbeach itself is ten amot high. So, Maravada, umakom karnot arba. The place of the karnot is four. What Rav Adar Bahava is describing is that each one of the karnot is a cubic amma. So if I look at every karen takes up an amma. So if I take the square area of the karen, each one is an amma. So if I count the four karnot in totality, they are four amot, and that's how he explains the puzzle. So one amma for each karen, and that's the four amot. Where it says, makom karnot arba havya, that's not really true either. Here we're looking at the dimensions of the mizbeach, and you're telling me that the karnot take up four amot. The truth is that they don't take up four amot on the mizbeach. And that is because if you look at the top of the mizbeach, from the upper part of the mizbeach, the karnot sit at the corners, and an amah by an amah at each corner. But I look at the length and the width of the mizbeach, then there's overlap between the two. So if I look at, for instance, the length of the mizbeach, then at the edge of each of those, there's a keren. Each one of them takes up an amah, and an amah on the end there. That means that the square area inside of them is diminished by two amot lengthwise and two amot widthwise. There's only a reduction by two amot of the mizbeach because of the karnot. If you say that the karnot take up four amot on the mizbeach, it's really not true. They are each an amah cubed, and they do themselves equal four amot if you added them up in isolation. But if you look at them in the context of the mizbeach, the length and the width of the mizbeach, they only eat up two amot in each direction. That's because they can't, otherwise you're double counting each karen in terms of its cubic amma. Because the karen's length and width affect each direction, but then you can't count them twice. And therefore, in each direction, the karnot only shrink the top of the mizbeach by two amot. Ela'ema reshut karnot dalid. Rather, what you have to say is that we're speaking about the height of the amma. And that reshuta akarnot means that they take up four amot of height of the mizbeach and not just the karen itself. Now, Rashi explains it one way. I thought to explain it a different way, and I could not find any Rishon or Achron says what I say. But I'll explain what Rashi says, and then I'll tell you what I thought it meant over here. Here you have the karen, which is at the top of the mizbeach. If you count from the chuta sikra up to the top of the karen, that's five amot. So the karen itself is a cubic amma. And from the chuta sikra till you reach the top of the karen, till you reach the base of the karen, that is four amot. So what Rashi claims is the reshuta karen. The karen itself is an amma by an amma by an amma, cubic amma. The reshut of the karen means that the karen itself extends downward an additional four amot. And that's what it means that the karnot are four amot, is that the karen's consumption within the mizbeach, not what extends beyond the mizbeach, but that which it takes up within the mizbeach itself, is four amot. The difficulty with Rashi's explanation and why I thought otherwise is because an amma above the chuta sikra, which is the midpoint of the mizbeach, is the sovev, which is a step in on the mizbeach. That means that the four amot, according to Rashi, extend down to the sovev and then beyond the sovev again. And even though it's not directly below the karen, it's stepping out and continuing down as part of the karen, which to me is difficult for a number of reasons, one of which is, it's understandable if you say the karen itself extends as if it was like a pillar that moves down. But over here, it comes to a pillar, and then the base expands because of the sovev, and then it's bigger than that area. So that's why I find that difficult to explain it that way. And I would have thought, when it says that the makom karen is arba amot, it means including the karen itself. That the karen itself, starting from the top of the karen, till you reach the sovev, that's the four amot. And then you don't have this problem of the base expanding. The reason that Rashi likely is compelled to say what he's saying is because Rabbi's opinion in the Braita was, Mechuta Sikra Alamala. The Mimel Yonim can go anywhere above the Chuta Sikra. But the way I'm explaining it, that's not true for the Chatat Behemah. It can only be done above the Sovev. The reason that I would explain it that way, first of all, the Kohanim went on to the Sovev to do the Chatat Behemah. Number two is the Gemara will speak later on about an instance in which someone who is on the Sovev can do a matan dam for that which is the damim ha'elyonim by actually bending down and putting it below his feet because there's an amma above the chuta sikra below this sovev. Over there they bring the example of an olat ha'of that he could do an olat ha'of by bending down and putting it below his feet. They don't necessarily mention katol behema there. According to the way Rashi is explaining it, it could have worked by katol behema, not just by enolat ha'ov. And so that's why I favored saying that it was the four amot above the sovei. Again, that's le'aniyat dati, not ra'oi to argue on Rashi, but I'm just saying that to me there's a compelling reason to believe that the arba amot is the pillar itself down to the sovei and not beyond the sovei. Rashi thinks it includes the area below the sovei, which means that that area would expand. And that's hard to understand. It's an amah by an amah. The sovei, which has nothing to do with the keren above it, because it's the step of the sovei is an amah. That means that now you have a keren that's an amah by an amah, which is not lined up with the upper keren at all. So that's how Rabbi gets his opinion that the keren is bigger than the cubic amah, or the space that's deemed to be the keren on Mizbeach is bigger than that cubic amah. Alright, it's not in Hatam. We have a Mishnah over there. Kutshel Sikra, there was a, it's not literally a string, but it's a demarcation at the halfway point of the Mizbeach that is made in red. So it's clear that that was a dividing point of the Mizbeach. Chogro be'emtza, went around it, belted it in the middle. Avdil ben adamim el yonim, the damim atachtonim, to differentiate between the dam that's above and the dam that is below. Minahane mile. How do you know that that's the case? That there was a Chut Sikra? And that differentiates between the damim el yonim, damim tachtonim. Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Katina, shnemar. It's based on the Mizbeach HaNechoshet in the Mishkan where it says, Vasid lo mipar masei reshet nechoshet. Vasid al reshet arba tabaot nechoshet arba kitzotav. Then in the subsequent pasuk, v'natata oto tachat karkov ha-mizbeach milimata, below the walking area, v'ita reshet ad chatzi ha-mizbeach. And it will reach up to the halfway point of the Mizbeach. HaTorah nitna mechitza l'avdil ben damim elyonim the damim atachtonim. There was this decorative copper netting that went around the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, went up to the halfway point. What was the purpose of this decorative reshet netting that went around the Mizbeach HaNechoshet that was at the midpoint of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet? It was to differentiate between the damim elyonim and damim atachtonim. So that reshet that's found on the Mizbeach HaNechoshet in the Mizbeach Shel Beit Olamim of the Mikdash, they made a line, or a dividing line, to demarcate what the emtza of the Mizbeach was, like the Mizbeach and the Choshet had a demarcation through the Reshet, that was the midpoint of the Mizbeach. Now, Sharei Adam, the residual dam of the Chatat, is placed on the Yesod HaDromi. So as differentiated from the Chatot HaPnimiyot that went on the Yesod HaMaravi, that of the Chatat HaChitzonah goes on the Yesod HaDromi. Mar wants to know, Tan Rabbanan, a Yisod Mizbach Ha'ula, that's what's written by the Chatat Anasi, or a Yisod Mizbeach, that's written by the Chatot HaYachid, Ze Yisod Dromi. That's the southern Yisod. Daomer Ze Yisod Dromi, you think that's referring to the southern Yisod, Oeinu El Yisod Maravi. Maybe to go on the western Yisod. V'yilameid Satum Min HaMifurash. Because then you learn from the one that is explicated on, or the one that is explicit, to the one that is not clear. Based on this, this is where Tosafot supported Rashi's contention before, that the Girsa and the Gemara should not be the Pogo Bavereisha, the one that you came to first. The Gemara said, how do you know you put it on the Yisod HaMaravi, when it came to the Chatot HaPnimiyot? They quoted the Pasuk, that it says, that Yisod Mizbach HaOlah Asher Petach Omoe. Then, in our Girsa, the Gemara says, the Pogo Bavereisha, that you bumped into it first. Rashi takes that out of the Girsa. He does not have Pogo Bavereisha in his Girsa. The reason Rashi says that you have to put it on the Yisod HaMaravi is because it says Asher Petach Omoe. It's by the entranceway to the Omoe. Well, when you have the Mizbeach and you're exiting the Omoe, the western side of the Mizbeach is what faces the Petach Omoe. That's why you put it on the western Yisod. Yisod HaDromi faces the front of the Mizbeach, the Kevesh, the ramp of the Mizbeach, but it's not facing the Petach Omoe. So Rashi says that's the source for Yisod HaMaravi. So then he says here, that's why the Gemara makes sense here. V'ilameid Satum min HaMifurash. Satum is by the case of the Chatot HaChitzonot. All it says is he put it on Yisod HaMizbeach. He put it on the base of the Mizbeach. But it doesn't tell you which Yisod or where on the Yisod of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, well, we'll learn from Mifurash. That's where it's explicit. That's by the Yisod HaMaravi. How do you have that it's explicit? Elayin Kain, you learn it from the Pasuk. And that's Rashi's proof, according to the Baal Tosafot, that what the source for putting on Yisod HaMaravi is not a logical argument, but rather a source in the Pasuk. And that's why the Gemara says, learn Satum, by Chatora Chitono, where it doesn't tell you the location, from Yisodah Maravi, where it does tell you the location of the pasuk, which is El Petach Asher Et Petach Ol Moed. Because if you think the reason that you put on Yisodah Maravi on the western side is because Paga Babaresha, you bump into it first when you exit the Echal, then why is that Yoter Mifurash than the Yisod that is written by the Yisod Romi? It says that Yisodah Mizbeach. So how do you know that that is Mifurash? And this is not Mifurash. You're telling me that the reason you do it on the western side is because you bump into it first. But when you descend from the Mizbeach on the southern ramp, you're also going to bump into the southern Yisod first. And that means that both of them are as explicit as each other. They're both saying it goes to the one that is closest to you when you descend or you exit. Well, if that's what's true by the Maravi, then you say it's true by the Dromi. But you don't know that about the Maravi any more than you know that about the Yisod HaDromi. And for that reason, Balei Tosfot would say that's what drove Rashi to say that the source is in the Pasuk and not a logical argument. And here the Braita says, learn that which is Satum, the Dromi, from the Maravi. So the Gemara says, Amar Tilameid Yirato Min HaKevesh, Yitziyato Min HaEchal. In the end, we're going to learn from the descent of the ramp, from his exiting of the Echal. My Yitziyato Min HaEchal B'Samuch Lo. Just like when he exits the Echal, he goes to the Yisod that is closest to him. But that's not the only reason. It is a result of the fact that you have to do it Asher Petach Ol Moed, according to Rashi. And therefore, you will end up going to the Yisod HaMaravi, which is the closest when you exit. The Gemara takes what is Mifurash in the Pasuk and gives reason to it. And once it gives reason to it, then you can apply it to the Yisod Dromi when it comes to the Chatot HaChitzonot. Af Yiriyato Min HaKevesh B'Samuch Lo. So too, when you descend from the ramp, you go to the closest Yisod. The closest Yisod is the Yisod Dromi. That is on the southern side. Even though there is no Yisod on the southern side, it's only on the southwestern corner that there is a Yisod that we'll discuss in a minute. Now, Tanya, we have a dissenting opinions to this. Our Mishnayot say that the Chatorah Pnimiyot went on the Yisod HaMaravi, Chatorah Chitzonot went on the Yisod HaDromi. Here we have dissenting opinions. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Zeh v'zeh Yisod HaMaravi. They both go on the western Yisod. B'Shem Bar Yochai Omer, Zeh v'zeh Yisod HaDromi. Shem Bar Yochai says they both go on the southern side. We'll learn later on that there were two pipings or holes that were found in the southwestern corner. And at that southwestern corner, one of those was towards the western side, and one was towards the southern side. That's also because there is no Yisod on the southern side. There's only Yisod right at the edge of the southwestern side. So, Bishlam Olamandamar, that makes sense according to one who says Yisod Maravi, Kasava Yilameit Satum Mina Farash. He'll take up what the Braita offered as a Havamina, he'll take that as the conclusion. You'll learn that which is Mifurash, by the Chatot of Pnimiyot, it's Mifurash, it has to be by the Yisod Nizbach Ola Asher Petach Omoei. So that is the Maravi, that's the one facing the doorway. And therefore you'll extrapolate then when it doesn't tell you where, you'll assume it's the same Yisod Mizbach where you did it for the Chatot of Pnimiyot, you do it for the Chatot of Chitzonot, and that'll be the western side. There's logic. There's an explanation for why you would say both on the western side. Lamanda Amar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that says, Yisod Dromi, for both of them, you put it on the southern side. Why would you do that? What would possess someone to put it on the southern side when it says, Asher Petach Ol Moed? So, my time, what's the reason? Amar Ravasi, Kasavar Aitana, Kule Mizbeach B'Tzafon Kai. That the entire Mizbeach was found on the northern side. This is going to come up on Daf Nun Chet. And then afterwards, in the Gemara, we're going to spend a lot of time on the placement of the Mizbeach. There are 9 or more shitot between the Tanaim and the Rishonim as to where exactly the Mizbeach was placed. But over here, we're going to narrow it down only to 2 of those opinions, which is here, we're suggesting that the Mizbeach was on the northern side. Rashi here brings 2 opinions as to what it means that the Mizbeach was on the northern side. The Azara obviously ran east to west, and the horizontal of the Azara is north to south. Now that horizontal, if you divide it in half, the Heichal and all that was found in the Azara was centered. And so the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the entranceway to them are all centered. So now when I say Kulei B'Tzafon, there are 2 ways to read that. Kulei B'Tzafon means that the entire Mizbeach was from the halfway point of the Azara to the north. That's the second way Rashi brings, as well as the way the Balei Tosafot favor heavily. And I sent out pictures that you can take a look at It's on the second picture that I sent out. You can see here the midline of the Petach HaEichal, which is what we're after here. It hits the southern side of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is all in the north. The entirety of the Mizbeach is in the north. The only thing in the south is the Kevesh, is the ramp itself. But the Mizbeach is basically from the center line towards the north. What that would mean is that when you exit the Eichal, if you come out in the middle, which the Gemara makes an assumption, that's what Rashi says according to this opinion, that you exit from the middle. When you exit from the middle, you're actually going to bump into the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. And in the southwestern corner, as you can see, there is the Yisod HaMizbeach. As you can see in the picture, the Yisod does not go around the entire Mizbeach. It is in the entire western side, the entire northern side. Then it's a little piece that goes onto the southern side and a little piece that goes onto the eastern side. We'll discuss that in more detail at the end of today's daf. That southwestern corner is where you're going to put it on the Yisod. So according to this, Rashi says, the Chiganofik mipetach roe Yisod dromi. When you exit the Petach at the midline, you're going to be facing towards the southern end of the Yisod, and that's what you're going to bump into first. V'lefanav mikuvan be'emtza petach. You look directly at the middle. I would even suggest it. Rashi doesn't say this, but in the other day, you could even suggest that generally in the Mikdash, they tended to do everything to the right. So that means when you entered into the Heichal, you would have pushed yourself a little bit to the right as you entered. And when you exit, you would also put yourself a little bit to the right. We know that from when they go up the Kevesh, the ramp, the Mishnayot tell us that he stayed to the right of the ramp when he went up, and he stayed to the right of the ramp when he descended. And similarly over here, when he exited the Eichal, he stayed a little bit to the right, which means you would actually be a little further south than the center line. That means when you exit the Eichal, you're actually going to come out, and you're going to bump into the southern face of the Mizbeach, and therefore that is Petach Omoed. Until now, we said Petach Omoed was the western side of the Mizbeach, because that's what was up against the doorway to the Eichal. But if you shift the Mizbeach northwards, it turns out that when you exit the Petach Eichal, you actually bump into the southern side and not the western side. That's the second interpretation that Rashi brings, and the Baal Tosafot favor this heavily, rather than the first interpretation of Rashi, where he says that when it means that it's in the north, it actually means entirely in the north, not from the center line of the Azara, but north of the Petach Eichal. Petach Eichal is 10 amot wide, and therefore it takes up within the Petach Ulam, which is 20 amot, the center 10 amot belong to the Petach HaHeichal. If you then put the Mizbeach north of that line, meaning you put it north of the line of the Petach, that means that the only part of the Yisod that was actually Petach the HaHeichal was the southern end of the Yisod. That's because the entire Mizbeach is shifted north of the Petach HaHeichal. That means when you exit the Eichal, the only piece that is still opposite Petach HaMoed is that little piece on the southern side, the little piece of the Yisod that's on the southern side. So now, it makes it much more compelling in terms of the fact that that's the only thing that's Petach HaMoed is now the southern end of the Yisod. The other interpretation has to say you exit it during the center point or shift it to the right, and therefore you end up with the Petach being the Dromi side. But there's still a part of the Mizbeach on the western side that's in front of the Eichal. This interpretation makes it that the only part of the Yisod that is Petach HaMoed is that little piece on the southern side that turns onto the southern side, which is within the range of the Petach HaEichal. So that's Rashi's first interpretation. Baal Tosafot don't like that, because the command prepare Kodesh Kodeshim Mukach says it's clear on Nun Ched Amud Aleph, where we'll spend time on the placement of Mizbeach. L'man damar kulei Mizbeach b'tzafon kai, according to one who says the Mizbeach is in the north, hai chamesh amot k'neged HaPetach. That it meant from the middle line of the Azara that they started. It doesn't mean north of the Petach. It means north of the middle line of the Eichal, not north of the Petach Eichal. And that's why he favors Rashi's second interpretation. The Shiti Mekubetz and Rodi Gimel brings the interpretation of Rashi that the Baal Tosafot think is difficult. He brings the same difficulty. Then he brings the alternate pshat of Rashi, which the Baal Tosafot favor, and he asks on that, Medokoku. First of all, how do you know that he always exited in the middle of the doorway? Number one. He says, how do you know that the Ama of the Dromi was the one that was considered to be the Petach HaMoed? The western side, or the four Amot of the western side, that also face the Petach HaMoed, they're also classified as Petach HaMoed. So how do you know now that it's the Dromi and not the Maravit? Later on, the Shini Megillat does answer that the reason that you might say it is because the entirety of the Yisod Dromi, which is all of an Amah or 2 Amot long, depending on which opinion, was in front of the Petach HaMoed. But the Yisod HaMaravi, not the entirety of it, was in front of the Petach HaMoed. That's why you would have favored the Dromi over the Maravi. Rashi's interpretation actually might be a derivative of the Girsa over here. As you see in the Girsa here, he says, Kasabra Itana, Kule Mizbeach Bitzafon Koi. And now you can see that the Lishna Achrina, the Shita Mikubetzet takes out the Lishna Achrina. I note you Dalit. In Rashi, you can already see that Rashi connects the two. Kasabra Kule Mizbeach Bitzafon, Petach Hayechal Koi. But he clearly connects the two Girsa. But that might actually have influence. If you read it like this, Haitana Kule Mizbeach Bitzafon Koi, that's one opinion. Lishna Achrina, Kule Petach Bidoron Koi. The entire Petach is south of the Mizbeach. So then you actually come to the two opinions in Rashi. One opinion in Rashi is that the Mizbeach is shifted from the midpoint of the Ezerah north. And that doesn't disagree with Tosafot. Tosafot says, that's what it means, Bitzafon, it means from that midpoint line. There's a second opinion, which is Kule Petach Bidoron Koi. The Petach Kal is all south of the Mizbeach. And that would then be the first interpretation that Rashi gave, which is the Mizbeach is north of the Petach HaEchal, and that's why that Yisod is there. So actually, the Girsa here might influence how you read the Gemara, and that might actually explain where Rashi came up with these two interpretations. So Tano, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, we have now a Braita that's brought, Beit Midrash Rabbi Shmuel, Ki Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Omrim, they hold like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Zeh v'zeh Yisod Maravi. They're both done on the western side. That is not what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that they were both on the southern side, on the Dromi side. Now, there's a bright and Tanna Berei Shmuel that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that they're both on the western side. B'simaneich, and the way to remember that is, Mashku Gavrei the Gavra. Those that were more numerous pulled those that were less numerous. So this is Rashi's interpretation. Rashi says that the Tanna Berei Rabbi Shmuel, the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel was bigger than that of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And therefore, when it says, Mashku Gavrei the Gavra, means that the more numerous Beit Midrash pulled the Gavra, pulled Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in their direction. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who according to what we had before said it was both of them are done on the southern side, the Beit Midrash and Rabbi Shmuel, who are the more numerous Beit Midrash, they pulled Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to be like their opinion, which is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion was both of them were done in the west. And Tanna Berei Shmuel says that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And so that's what they did. They pulled Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's position to be dominant to that of Rabbi Shmuel. That's the way Rashi interprets it. Bali Tosafot don't like Rashi's interpretation because of the Gemara on Kuf Yud Tet Amud Bet in Zvachim, which uses the same Siman. And over there, the Siman, according to Rashi, means just the opposite. So then, how are you going to explain that here? You have a Siman that doesn't give you an answer as to what happened over here. So that bothers Tosafot. Therefore, Tosafot does two things. One is, he says the explanation of Gavra and Gavre is not about the number of people, but rather about the number of names that are mentioned. Whenever we speak about Rabbi Shmuel in the Gemara, it's just Rabbi Shmuel. Whenever we speak about Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara, it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Gavre is a description of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because he has his name and his father's name. There are two names there, Gavre. Gavro is Rabbi Shmuel because he only has one name there. But then that means if the Gavre pulled the Gavra, that means Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai pulled Rabbi Shmuel. Our Girsa doesn't have that. Our Girsa has Tanna Berei Rabbi Shmuel pointing Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to their side, not the other way around. Therefore, the Bali Tosfot have an alternate Girsa. V'nirakei the Garsina b'sfarim yishanim. He's not changing the Girsa. He said Rashi changed the Girsa. Rashi changed the Girsa to read over here, Zeh v'zeh yisod maravi. The original Sfarim had a Girsa that said Zeh v'zeh dromi, that they're both on the southern side. And then that's the answer now, which is Simaneich Gavre. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai pulled Gavra, Rabbi Shmuel, over to his side. And that's how you remember it. The one with two names pulled the one with one name to his position. And that's Mashke Gavre, the Gavra. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and then it's consistent with the Gemara on Kuf Yud Tet. Because there too, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai pulls Rabbi Shmuel in his direction. A similar concept. And in both cases, it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the Gavre, pulls the Gavra, Rabbi Shmuel, in his direction. So Tanna Berei Rabbi Shmuel were pulled by Rabbi Shimon Yochai to say like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and not like their Rabbi Shmuel. And that's why I would say here, the Girsa would be Zeh v'zeh, Yisod Dromi. That was the Girsa that the Bali Tosafot say was in the older Sfarim. Right now we move on to the next Mishnah that deals with the Ola. Ha'ola Kodshei Kodoshim. The Ola is classified as Kodshei Kodoshim. The Gemara, the first question will be, why do you need to tell me that the Ola is Kodshei Kodoshim? You didn't tell me that with the Chatat. You're not going to mention that by the Hashem. Why is it necessary to mention that the Ola is Kodshei Kodoshim? Shchitata Bitzafon. The Shchita, like all the other Kodshei Kodoshim, is done in the northern side. Kibul Dama B'klisharei Bitzafon. And similar to all the other korbanot of Kodshei Kodoshim, as we will see and have seen, they are Kabbalat Dam is done in the northern side with a Kli Sharet. V'dama ta'on shtei matanot she'en arba. So here we have the first of a series of korbanot that will have this type of matan dam. We have the Chatot Pnimiyot that have matan dam that is done by Etzpa in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, in the Kodesh, on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Then you have the Chatot HaChitzonot. There's a matan dam that's done on the karnot, tamizbeach with an etzba, that's up top, the four karnot. Now we have the ola, where the matanot are done, first of all, standing on the ground, and they're done in a manner where you do them at two out of the four corners, but at those corners, you have them go in two directions. That's why they're called shtayim shenarba. The netina that gives you four sides of the mizbeach, even though the netina is only done at two points along the mizbeach. That is shtayim shenarba. Udeuna. And then the olah requires hefshet. The hide needs to be flayed from the animal, taken off the animal, because the hide actually goes to the kohanim, not on the mizbeach. Vinituach. And then it needs to be quartered. You have to actually cut up the olah. You don't put the whole behemah on there. You actually have to take out the innards, the emurim, separate them out, cut up the animal. Then b'chalil yishim. Then it goes entirely on the fire. It's khalil, that's the nature of an olah. An olah means everything goes to Hashem. But it's not that you just dump the whole animal after you shecht it on the mizbeach. They have to be processed, which means the hide has to be flayed, has to be taken off the animal, and then you have to actually quarter it in order to put it on the mizbeach. You can't just put the whole animal after you flayed it onto the mizbeach. So now, by those who ask over here, what's noticeably absent from the mission over here is tema the lotani shvichut shirayim veolah. By the olah, we don't have the fact that the remaining blood or the shvichut shirayim it's done on the Yisod Dromi. Why is it not brought in the Mishnah over here? So the Baal Tosafot bring two answers. They bring an answer from the Rabbi Yaakov Meorleans, which is Rabbi Yaakov Meorleans says it has to do with the layout of the Mishnayot. It lays out the Mishnayot to tell you that by the Korbanot HaPnimiim, that you require a Yisod Maravi, and then it brings by the Korban Chatat, which is a Korban on the Mizbech HaChitzon, it tells you that it's done on the Yisod Dromi. And what the Bala Mishnah wanted to do was tell you, unlike those opinions that it says everything's done in the south, everything's done in the west, those that were Pnimiim are done in the west, those that are done in the Chitzon are done in the south. And the Tana says, I told you about all the Pnimiim because I want to get to the first Korban that's done in the Mizbeach Chitzon. Once I told you about the first Korban of the Mizbeach Chitzon that's done in the south, then you'll know that for the remainder of them. So it wrote it by all the Pnimiim to get to the Chitzon. Once it got to the Chitzon, it gave you the information. You can extrapolate by yourself. You don't need that information anymore. And that's why he stopped speaking about the Sharei Adam. Because we clearly know from the Limudim that we had, because we saw in Nun Aleph and Bet in the Braita, that the Braita teaches you that there is a requirement for you sowed by all other Korbanot. And especially with regards to the Olah, that there's a requirement that the Sharei Adam be put on the Yisod. So he says the reason that it's not mentioned anymore is because it's not necessary. We know the information already from the Chatat, and you can extrapolate it yourself. On the other hand, he brings from the Ramoshe Mipuntiza, which Balei Tosafot reject, but it's a very interesting opinion. He says, because there's a difference between Olah and a Chatat. The Chatat is done with Matnot Dam, with the Etzpa, so there's almost no chance that you're going to finish up the Dam, and there will almost always, or by definition, there will be Shiarei Adam. Since there will be Shiri Adam, he has to tell you what to do with them. Then when it comes to the Olah, which is done through Zrika, in more likelihood, you're going to empty out the entire utensil, and there won't be Shiraim left over. And so therefore, it doesn't mention it here because it's a low likelihood that there will be Shiraim. That Olah, you've got the Kleb Zimnin, delayed by Shiraim. Because there's sometimes there's no Shiraim. On the Chatad, where there's always Shiraim, there it mentioned the Yisod. And all the korbanot from here to forward, the olah, and everything else, they are done through zrika or shvicha, where in all likelihood the dam will be used up, or there's a possibility of the dam being used up, and therefore it doesn't speak about shirayim. Whereas for the chatat, And all the previous Mishnayot where the matnot are done by etzpa, there's almost definitely, or will for sure be, shirayim, and that's why over there it tells you what to do with the shirayim. The Baal HaKedoshim don't love this because he says, don't hear it, the kulei shmaita muchlok, the mitzvah b'matan shirayim. Says the entire sugya until now seems to indicate that there is a mitzvah, even if you don't think it is me'akev, but there is a mitzvah to put the shari adam on the yisod. And that means that you would actually have to keep dam when you're doing this rikata dam b'deolah to put it on the yisod of his back. And that's why he rejects Rav Moshe b'Pontiza. And the Shita Mikubetz in Old Lamed Chet actually says that explicitly, that shirayim afilu b'olah tzarich lizaher b'zrika. You have to be careful in the zrikat adam, shishayim in adam, that you have some dam left over in order that you can do the mitzvah of nitinat shirayim on the yisod. So clearly this view within the Baal HaTosafot, and that is mentioned here in the Shita Mikubetz, is believed that there's a necessity or a mitzvah to ensure that there's dam left over to put on the shirayim. There are other opinions, and that probably is the view of Rav Moshe b'Pontiza, that you do not have to leave over dam, that the necessity put on the shirayim by the olah is only if there is dam left over. But if there's no dam left over, or you don't even have to ensure that there's dam left over, then there's no mitzvah. It's just a procedural instruction that if you have shirayim, you do this with it. But there's no mitzvah to have shirayim, and there's no mitzvah to put shirayim on. Tell me what you do with the shirayim. That difference in opinion might actually explain why they have different views as to the reason for why the shirayim being put on the yisod drumi is not mentioned in this Mishnah. And then, and the Shita Mikubetz, he brings from the Rabbeinu Peretz, Maram Tiretz, the Tana Mishir, that the Tana did not give everything in this Mishnah, because there's a Mishnah in Tamid that describes the processing of the olah. It says Tana Mishir. It brought in this Mishnah some items that it further will explain in the Mishnah in Tamid. Whoever does the Mishnah Tamid, it left out over here. In the Mishnah Tamid, it tells you that the Shari Adam are going to go on the Yisod Rumi. You don't need that over here. Over here, it tells you Shtayin Shein Arba, it doesn't tell you which corners. That's also explained in the Mishnah Tamid. So this is a shorthand Mishnah, because there's another Mishnah that deals with this. The other Korbanot, where there aren't other Mishnayot that deal with that information, they explained it all within the Mishnah itself. The Olah, which has the whole Masechet Tamid, which describes the Korban Tamid, which is an Olah. Over there we have all this information, and therefore here it does it in a shorthand manner. Ola, my tanale kodshe kodoshim. Why by the Ola does it tell us that it is kodshe kodoshim? As Rashi notes over here, what is the nafkamina that it is kodshe kodoshim? He says that if it is kodoshim, he, li pasel biyotze, it creates a problem that if it leaves the azara, it's going to be problematic. That's number one. Number two is tvul yom mechuser kipurim. If a tvul yom or mechuser kipurim come into contact with it, they will make it Tamei. And the fourth thing is that it is mo'alimba. There's mi'ilah. Because it's kodshei kodashim, it belongs to Hashem. If you misappropriate it, you're going to be chayav mi'ilah. The Baal HaTosafot disagree with two out of those four. And it says, v'lo yalo l'faresh l'inyan tvul yom l'mukhusar kipurim. Doesn't make sense that he mentioned in tvul yom l'mukhusarim, z'zeh din noheg b'chol kodashim. That's not unique to kodshei kodashim. Even by kodshim kalim, if a tvul yom or a mechuser kipurim came into contact with them, they make them tamei. That's exactly what a mechuser kipurim is blocked from coming into contact with, is eating kodesh and entering into the mikdash. They can't come into contact with kodesh. And they'll make kodesh tamei, even if it's kodshim kalim. So that's not a nafkamina. That's not unique to kodshim kodoshim. Yotzei and mi'ilah is unique to kodshim kodoshim. That's what's the nafkamina about kodshim kodoshim. Our answer is, the lo tiba kodshim kodoshim. It never mentions by the olah that it is kodesh kodoshim. We actually saw this earlier, that there was a gzera shava of kodshim kodoshim between chatat and asham. And that's because the Torah called both the chatat and the asham kodshim kodoshim. By the olah, the Torah never mentions kodshei kodoshim. So what the Mishnah does is fills in the missing information. The chatat and asham, where it's in the Torah, the Mishnah doesn't need to mention that's kodshei kodoshim. Here, where it isn't mentioned in the Torah, the Mishnah mentions the fact that it is kodshei kodoshim. Rashi says, it is obvious that the olah is kodshei kodoshim because it goes on the mizbeach. As we know, that when it comes to the kodshim kalim, the parts of the kodshim kalim that go on the mizbeach are deemed to be kodshei kodoshim. So for instance, if you bring a shlamim, the shlamim or the part of the shlamim that goes on the mizbeach are the emurim, fats and the innards of the animal that go on the mizbeach. Those fats that go on the mizbeach are deemed to be kodshei kodoshim. So if the fats and the parts of the kodshei kalim, the shlamim, go on the mizbeach, are called kodshei kodoshim, The Ola, which in its entirety goes on the Mizbeach, clearly it is Kodshei Kodashim. So why do I need a Mishnah to tell me that the Ola is Kodshei Kodashim? So even though it's not written in the Pasuk, we know it Misvara. Here the Mishnah is just filling you in, telling you that that is the case by the Ola, that it is Kodesh Kodashim. And now, Damatun Shtei Matanot. Hechi Ovid. Where do you do the Matanot Dam for the Ola? Amarav, Notain, V'chuzer, V'notain. You put it on, and then you put it on again. Shmuel Amar, Matana Achat, K'min Geme, Notain. That you put on a Matana Achat, that's like a Greek gamma, is basically a chafsofit written backwards. That's the shape of it. The main thing they're after over here is the 90 degree angle. So whether you call it an L shape, anything like that, they're after that 90 degree angle, which was the shape of the gamma. But over here, the gamma, in essence, means the right angle. And what Shmuel is saying is that you make one matan dam at the corner that splits or splashes to the two sides. Not that Rav argues fundamentally as to where you put the matnot on, and as to whether it's shtayim shein arba, he agrees. He just says, how do you create the shtayim shein arba? When you're standing on the northeastern side of the Mizbeach, and you're about to do the matan dam on the northeastern side of the Mizbeach, you put a piece on the eastern side, a piece on the northern side. Then you get shtayim shein arba, because then you go to the southwestern side and do the same thing over there. Shmuel says you only have to do two matnot dam. It's not that you do at two corners four times, but rather you do it at two corners only twice. So the machloket about shtayim shein arba is, what does the shtayim mean? Does the shtayim mean two corners? Or does the shtayim mean two zrikot adam? Rav says shtayim just means you do it at two of the corners, but at those corners you're going to do four matnot dam. Shmuel says you're not only going to do it at the two corners, you're only going to do two zrikot adam from the utensil, and those two zrikot will then result in four corners being covered. So that's the machloket between them. Kitanae. The machloket between Rav and Shmuel is similar to a machloket tanaim. Yochel yizrukenu zrika achat. You would think you only have to do one zrika. Talmud Lomar, saviv. It has to be around the Mizbeach. Meaning that by the Olah, it says it has to be saviv. Is saviv, yoko yikifenu kechut. So maybe what it means is you have to put it around the Mizbeach. You'll take the dam and you'll run around the Mizbeach and say, I get dam all the way around the Mizbeach. Circle the Mizbeach with dam. Because that's the only way you can create a band around the Mizbeach of dam. Talmud Lomar, zarku. Says that they're going to throw it. So you can't throw it and end up with a chut that's around. The fact that it says by the dam of the olah, the zarku, that they will throw it, by definition precludes the ability to make a line around. So therefore, it has to be zarku. How do I then reconcile between the zarku, they're going to throw the dam, and saviv, that it's all around the mizbeach? Haketzad, k'min gemet. That's how you do it. The answer is, you do it at two points. You do a zrika, and the zrika will result in it being a gemet, or the equivalent of shtayim matanot shein arba. The two matnot dam then ends up being four. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Nemar kan saviv, v'nemar lahalan saviv. It says saviv by the olah. It also says saviv by the chatat. Because it says by the chatat of miluim, v'yishchat, v'yikach Moshe et adam, v'yitein al karnot ha-mizbeach saviv be'etzmo, v'yichatet ha-mizbeach, v'et adam yatzak yisod mizbeach, v'yikadsheu l'chaper alav. So it says later on in the El Ha'olah, that's also brought over there, it also says saviv, which is an olah, but that we also have earlier on in Vayikra, where it says, "V'shachat ben bakar lifnei Hashem v'ikrivu bnei Aron ha-kohenim et adam." So, "k'vat adam ha-mizbeach saviv v'sher petach ha-moed." That's in Vayikra Aleph by the olah. We already have the word saviv mentioned there. Malahalan pisuk v'arba matanot. Just like by the korban chatat, you clearly have to do four separate matanot dam because the karnot are nowhere near each other. And if you have to do them on the four karnot, each matan dam is going to be a separate matan dam. Avkan pisuk v'arba matanot. So over here, it has to be four separate matot dam. So here you have a quasi gzer shava of saviv, saviv. Really maybe even more a giloy milta as to what the meaning of saviv is. Imal alan arba matanot al arba karnot. So then, if you're going to create this hekesh or gzer shava between the chatat and the olah, so just like by the chatat, not only do you have four separate matot dam, but you do them on the four corners. Avkan arba matanot al arba karnot. So too by the olah, you should have to do the same thing. You should have to do four matnot and on each of the four corners of tamart olah to una yisod. We already discussed the fact that the olah requires yisod. That we learned from the brayta what we saw before, which taught us a yisod mizbach haolah. That taught us that the matnot dam have to be done for the olah in a place where there is a yisod. Whether you learn that out from the pasuk or whether that's a Kal V'chomer, that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel gave us a Kal V'chomer that says that matnot dam on Yisod that require the Yisod or Gaga Yisod, then certainly the matnot dam of the Ola require a Yisod, or in a place where there's Yisod. So that runs into a problem. The Karen Mizrachit Romit, lo yalo Yisod. And their problem is that the southeastern side of the Mizbeach does not have Yisod, so it's impossible to go to the four Karnot. So that can't be what it means by the Ola. Therefore, it must mean something else. And then it means that you need to put the Arba Matnot, but you don't have to go to the all four corners. It never tells you how exactly you do that, which seemingly he's not fundamentally arguing about the Shtayim Shein Arba. He supposedly has the same opinion as Rav, which Rav tells you what the problem is, tells you why Ksaviv can't be literally that way, but never tells you how you actually execute on it. It's supportive of Rav, theoretically, because it says that you put on a separate Matan Dam for each side. How you go about doing it isn't necessarily correlated with Rav, because Rav agrees that you do Shtayim Shein Arba. And that's all within the opinion of the Tanakama. It's just that he does it by putting it on separate Matnot Dam, and he creates the Gemma that way. The truth is that Rav and Shmuel are both probably within the opinion of the Tanakama, but nevertheless, the difference in the opinions of the Tanaim here are similar to the discussion between Rav and Shmuel, which is, when we speak about Matnot Dam, does that mean one Matan Dam that then splits in two directions? Does that mean a separate Matan Dam for each Matan Dam that you need? Now here you can see I brought you in the handout the machloket as to what it means that there was no Yisod on the southeastern side, and then how exactly it looked. There is a picture I brought you from the Rambam and Perusha Mishnayot. In better copies of the Rambam and Perusha Mishnayot, they took it out and they said it was a ta'ut defusim. It was a mistake by the printers, and it really wasn't what the Rambam said. But this picture is found in earlier versions of the Perusha Mishnayot, which is that the Mizbeach had Yisod all the way around, with the exception of exactly that corner, that southeastern corner, there was no Yisod. Rashi and the Sheet of other Rishonim generally are that there is no Yisod along the entire southern side and the entire eastern side, with the exception of the southwest corner and the northeast corner. How exactly it works at those corners, we're going to be able to discuss now, since we're on the pictures anyway. I'll just show you the way that Rashi has the picture, and you have that in your Gemaras here, the Yisod actually turns the corner. That it goes to the southwestern side, and then turns onto the southern side for one amah. It extends into the southern side one amah. And similarly, on the northeastern side, goes along the whole northern side, and then turns onto the eastern side for an amah. That's Rashi's opinion. The Tiferet Yisrael, as well as the Me'irot Panim, say that it doesn't turn. It reaches out an amah, meaning that if you go along the western side, it just protrudes out onto the southern side in amah. And it doesn't wrap around. And similarly on the northern side, it goes all the way to the eastern side, but does not wrap around. That's the view of those. So those are three different opinions of what it means. Now the Gemara is going to explain to us why that is, how that came about. So it says over here, my time out. Why was there no Yisod on the southeastern corner? So Amar Rabbi Lazar, lefi shelo haika bechelko shel Toreif. Because it was not in the chelek of Binyamin. Binyamin is called a Toreif because of the bracha that Yaakov gives to Binyamin, which is Binyamin, Ze'ev Yitraf. Baboker Yochol Ad, Ula Erev Yechalek Shalau. Binyamin Ze'ev Yitraf, he's a plundering, hunting wolf that goes to get the teref, his prey, he's trying to capture. You look at the Targum Unkelus on the Pasuk over here, he describes that with regards to the Beit HaMikdash. Binyamin, Be'arei Tishrei Shchinta. In his land, the Shchina will be present. Uba'achsante, Yitbenei Makdasha. And in his possession, the Beit HaMikdash will be built. Bitzafra Ubipanya. In the morning and in the afternoons, Yehon Mikarvin Karanaya Karbain. The Karbanaya. The Kohanim will be Makriv the Korbanot. Ubiyidan Ramsha. In the evening, Yehon Mifalgin Motar Chukehon Mishar Kodshaya. They'll divide up the spoils of the Korbanot. So he translates the Pasuk as referencing to the Mikdash. Clearly, the Gemara here is viewing it in that manner. Benjamin's Ze'ev Yitraf is that he'll be the host to the Shekhinah, and the Korbanot will be brought in his possession. That's what Benjamin's Ze'ev Yitraf. The Mizbeach will take the prey, quote-unquote, of Bnei Yisrael. But Boker Yochal Ad, from the morning through the afternoon, the Mizbeach will have Korbanot that are brought in it. It will eat. Ula Erev, in the evening, Yechalek Shalau, the Kohanim will divide up the Korbanot. The matnot that go to the guna, they're going to divide them up. That's how he translates the pasuk. And now the Gemara explains. Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Mizbeach ochel b'chalko she'yehuda ama. That the Mizbeach takes up one ama in the possession of Yehuda. Amar Rav Levi bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, Ritzua ita yotza michalko she'yehuda, nichnasa b'chalko she'binyamin. There was this strip of an ama that went from the chelek of Yehuda into the chelek of Binyamin. V'ya Binyamin atzadik mitzta'er aleha b'chol yom lenotla. And Binyamin was always worried and bothered. He really wanted to take it back. Shenemar chofei palav kol hayom. That he is hovering over it all day. The way Rashi translates chofei is like from when one scratches their head or shampoos their head, that it looks like somebody who's worried or bothered. So he's scratching his head because he is upset about something, worried about something. Lefikach zacha Binyamin atzadik v'naseh ushpizchan haKodesh Baruch Hu. For that reason, Binyamin was zocheh and became the host to the Shekhinah. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, uben teifav shachin, by the bracha of Moshe, where it says, chofei palav in kol hayom, that he was worried about this, the fact that Yehuda took a piece of his Yusha. So therefore, he was zocheh ben teifav shachin, between his shoulders shall rest, the Shekhinah will be shachin there, and that is that the heikal, and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, in the resting place of the Shekhinah, is found in Chelek of Binyamin. Now the Pashtun of Pasuk is, Chofei Palav Kol Hayom, is that Hashem hovers over Binyamin and watches him. Here, Chazal take it to mean, Chofei Palav, that Binyamin himself is Chofei, and therefore Ben Ktefav Shechein. So there is a explanation for the latter half of the Pasuk in the first half of the Pasuk, as both the simple pshat, which is that Hashem is hovering over him, Ben Ktefav Shechein, and that his Shekhinah is Shora in the Chelek of Binyamin. Not that it's an explanation, but rather it's hand in hand. He is hovering over him because that's where the Shekhinah rests. Binyamin already knew, either through Nivuah or through the Bircha of Moshe, that he was going to have a portion of his section taken by Yehuda, which would cause issues with regards to Mizbeach. But he also knew that Ben Ktefav Shechein. He would know the information as the fact that the Shekhinah would be Shora there. So how can you see then that a cause and effect if both pieces of information are known? So there were those that want to suggest that the question of Ben Ktefav Shechein might be similar in nature to Mishkan Shiloh, where it was only a temporary location. Ben Ktefav Shechein might have been, yes, the Shekhinah will be sure there, but how do you know it's going to be there forever? That came about because Chofei Palav Kol Hayom, because he worried about losing a portion of it. That's what made it that he was the permanent residence of the Shekhinah. And that way, it was a cause and effect. Or it could be that he only had part of the information. We're able, in hindsight, to interpret the bracha of Moshe, but at the time it wasn't clear. Only a portion of it was clear, and Binyamin knew that he was going to lose at least a portion to Yehuda, and that's what he was worried about. The fact that Ben Ktefav Shechein meant that the Shekhinah would be Shora in his chelek didn't necessarily say that it was going to be the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It could have been the Mizbeach. Could have been something else, and therefore there is still maybe a cause and effect here that his worrying led to the fact that the Kodesh HaKodeshim would be in his possession. So now, first of all, just pictorially, I brought you the third picture that I brought you from the handouts that I sent out last night. You can see here, and Rashi describes this in detail, that based on the Gemara in Yoma, Yehuda's chelek was on the eastern side of the Mikdash. And it had the dividing line between Yehuda and Binyamin, and we know that Yerushalayim was divided between Yehuda and Binyamin, because Yerushalayim is mentioned both as a border town for Binyamin, as well as a border town for Yehuda, which means Yerushalayim stood on the border between Yehuda and Binyamin. Gemara in Yoma says that the border of Yehuda, the area of Yehuda, was on the eastern side of the Mikdash, and the Chelek of Binyamin was on the western side of the Mikdash. And in that way, Yehuda's possession was the entire Ezrat Nashim, and all the stuff that was around there, including the Ezrat Israel, and the Magom Hiluch Ragle Kohanim, all the way up to the Mizbeach, belonged to Yehuda. Binyamin, the entire Heichal, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Ulam, all of that belonged to Binyamin. So first of all, the Shekhinah is Shora, the Shekhinah is in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that's Shora in the Chelek of Binyamin. There are others that want to argue it was not only true by the time of the Beit HaMikdash, but also true in the time of Nov and Gibeon, where the Mizbeach was found in the Chelek of Binyamin. And it's even an interesting opinion that says Mishkan Shiloh was on the edge of Ephraim by the location of Binyamin, and therefore it even sat in Binyamin at that time. The problem we're trying to discuss here, or deal with over here, is that the Mizbeach does not have a Yisod on the southern side, as well as on the eastern side. So the eastern side is a little easier to understand, because what it says is that the chelik of Yehuda extends in Amma on the eastern side of the Mizbeach. And wherever there is a chelik of Yehuda, there is no Yisod, because the Mizbeach needs to be in Binyamin's area, not in Yehuda's area. And then Rashi describes, you can see this, between the ramp and the Mizbeach, that there was a little Amma, strip of an Amma of Yehuda, that extended out towards the western side of the Mizbeach. And that area also did not have a Yisod, because that belonged to Yehuda. And that's what Rashi says. Basically, there's a strip of an Amma long on the eastern side of the Mizbeach, as well as on the southern side of the Mizbeach, where it belonged to Yehuda. That's why there's no Yisod. But it stopped both times before the end, and that's where you have the Amma. According to Rashi, you can see the pictures of Rashi in the Gemaras, that's where the Yisod did exist, because it stopped at last Amma on the southern side, and the last Amma on the eastern side, there the Chelek Yehuda stopped, and that's where there is a Yisod on those sides. Rashi's shadow here makes two assumptions. One is that the Amma that is mentioned with regards to Okel B'Kolkoshim Yehuda Amma is connected to Rav Levi Bar Chama. It also makes the assumption based on the Gemara in Yoma that Yehuda's Chelek was on the eastern side of the Mikdash, and Binyamin's was on the western side of the Mikdash. Although you could make a decent argument that Yehuda's chelik of the Mikdash was on the southern side, and that of Binyamin's was on the northern side, because geographically, that's where their chelik was. Binyamin was to the north, Yehuda was to the south. And then you would have to draw this in a completely different manner, a different way, but the fact that we don't have so many Rishonim on Zvachim makes it that we have a dearth of alternate explanations, and we really only have Rashi's explanation here for how the situation laid out. For the other views, whether it's Tfiyat Yisrael or the Rambam, you're going to have to explain either for the Rambam that it means that Chelek Yehuda ate up an Amma. It literally means like an Amma by an Amma, Amma's side that took up, that Yehuda took away from the Mizbeach. Again, that's most likely a printing mistake and not what the Rambam meant, because if you look in Mishnah Torah, he seems to be much more in line with the Tfiyat Yisrael's view. And then for the Tfiyat Yisrael and Rashi, they question what that Amma means. Rashi views that there's a strip of an Amma that belongs to Yehuda, and then there's an Amma at the end that's left over. The question is, what does that Amma mean? According to the Tiferet Yisrael, that Amma means the Amma that protrudes from the northern side and from the western side, they protrude into the south and the east. An Amma, that's the Amma that was left over. Or according to Rashi, those are part of the northern side and the western side. The extra Amma has to be a turn of the corner. Right, so there's an Amma taken out on the southern side and an Amma taken out on the eastern side, where they actually eat an Amma into those sides. But Rashi definitely correlates between the Amma that is mentioned of the Mizbeach and what Rav Levi Bar Chama says, that there was a Rutsuah, there was a strip. Rashi says the strip was an Amma, and he correlates between the Amma of Yehuda and the Rutsuah. If you didn't correlate between them, then you might end up with different opinions as to how, first of all, this looked, as well as the possibility of explaining it like that likely errant picture in Parash Mishnayot of the Rambam. That's the description that Rashi is giving. And that, for that reason, there's no Yisod on the eastern side and on the southern side. The Baalei Tosafot later on, and we'll discuss it when we get there, say that only works well in Bayit Sheni, where the Mizbeach was this large, and that would be the explanation for why there is no Yisod over there. And Bayit Rishon, where the Mizbeach was smaller, how do you explain this phenomenon? As well as, that's only according to the opinion, Baalei Tosafot would say, that the Yerushalayim needs Chalka l'Shvatim. That Yerushalayim was divided up amongst the Shvatim. But according to the opinion that Yerushalayim was basically a national city and was not divided amongst the Shvatim, then none of this is meaningful. So the Baalei Tosafot answer in those cases, different answers, but one of the answers is that you have to say that there was a Mesorah. According to the one who says that Yerushalayim don't need Chalka l'Shvatim, that means that he believed that the Yisod wasn't there because they had a Mesorah, that there was no Yisod on the eastern and southern side. Similarly, in Bayit Rishon, if you can't figure out how to get the dimensions of Mizbeach to fit the description over here, similarly, you would have to say there was a Mesorah that Yisod not be on that side. Though there are opinions, again, that try to reconcile both the fact that even if you say Yerushalayim is not Nitzchalka l'Shvatim, doesn't mean that Makom HaMikdash was not Nitzchalka l'Shvatim, as well as that maybe in Bayit Rishon, depending on where the Mizbeach is situated, then it would make a difference as to whether it would also be possible maybe to describe the same phenomenon during Bayit Rishon, even though the Mizbeach in Bayit Sheni is much larger. So Tosfot will deal with that when we get there. Tosfot further on deals with that. But I'm just noting for you that problem with the description or the explanation that's given here in the Gemara. Either way, what they're describing here is the reason why there's no Yisod over there is because Yehuda's there, and Binyamin was the one who's the Ze'evi trap. He's the one that takes in the prey. He's the one where the korbanot are brought. He was bothered by the fact that Yehuda had that area. Now, the truth is, he doesn't really need to be bothered about it because there was no Mizbeach over there, but he's bothered by the fact that he didn't have a full Yisod or a full Mizbeach because of that. And that worry led it to that Uben Ktefav Shachain, that Hashem put the Shekhinah with Shoreh there. The question as to why Binyamin was chosen for the Shoreh Shekhinah, there's much to say about that. I'll just throw out two ideas that I suggest. One is that Binyamin is the youngest child of Yaakov, which anybody in a family knows that usually the youngest child has a relationship with all the other children. Even if the other children don't necessarily have relationships between them, the youngest child generally or tends to have a stronger relationship with the other children, all the other children. The second thing is that Binyamin is a bridge between Yehuda and Yosef, which will become very important, especially after the Pilug Milucha. But Binyamin is always a bridge between Yehuda and Yosef. And that we see throughout the Tanakh, not just with regards to it, but where their placement is in terms of their location geographically as Shpatim. But in many instances, we see that through history, that Binyamin acts as a bridge. Binyamin is also the only child of Yaakov that was not involved in Mechirat Yosef, the only child of Yaakov that was born in Eretz Yisrael. These are all reasons to say why Binyamin was chosen for the Chelek. To me, the two primary are, number one, Binyamin is a bridge between Yehuda and Yosef, and number two, that Binyamin is the youngest child of Yaakov. All right, we're going to stop here, three lines down on the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph.